Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
I'm excited to, we're closing in on the holidays here for one. I'm excited to talk Billy Kidman. Like, you know, we don't do it enough around here. And so he's definitely one of my favorites, put him up there with the Big Boss Man, of course.
Wow.
I'm excited to kind of talk about this match. Great little, three-way between just like three great cruisers and just three overall great wrestlers too. And so I'm excited to get into this one though. How about you, man?
Yeah, me too, man. Love me some cruiserweight matches, so I'm pumped to cover this one.
Right.
All right, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, so we've talked about this show before because it had, Jeff, what I believe, no bullshit, to be the worst match that we've ever covered on The Payoff.
Yeah.
Nash and Goldberg.
Easy. You know, I'm not going to disagree.
So, you know, just not a great show. You look at this card, man, and it's like Norman Smiley and Prince Iaukea, Perry Saturn and Ernest Miller, Brian Adams, Scott Norton defeating Fit Finley and Jerry Flynn, Conan and Chris Jericho, Eric Bischoff and Ric Flair, DDP and the Giant. Ugh. Mm-hmm. You know, late 98, we're really struggling in WCW. It's amazing how quickly it turned. Just a few weeks ago, we covered Starrcade 96. Man, whole different vibe. Way different show. So not good, my man. Not good at all. The event rating, bad, thumbs down, 5 out of 10, again, keep in mind, we're missing Sting, we're missing Luger, we're missing Hogan, we're missing Savage. Scott Hall's not wrestling on the show. I mean, I know he was on at the end, but you know, you start going through that and it's like, Benoit's not there. Eddie Guerrero's not there. Eddie was there. Just missing a lot of WCW staples. Storyline standpoint, how do we get to a triple threat match for the title?
Yeah, so this one, Kidman, of course, being a part of the Ravens flock in 1997, eventually, them disbanding and then him getting the kind of clean cut fan favorite kind of going face on this one. It was Juventud that he beat to win his first cruiserweight championship. Guerrero won it back, but then Kidman would get it again. It was actually World War III in my home state of Michigan having that. So Juventud, of course, like we just said, like these guys kind of back and forth having a little bit here. And dealing that, Juventud having a lot of different matches. Chris Jericho title or match for mask versus title match. He actually lost that one and was unmasked. Excuse me. Of course, taking on feuding with Jericho quite a bit. And then of course having his match with Kidman and then Rey Mysterio on this one. Of course, them having the Latino World Order, as we've talked about before too. Eddie Guerrero forming that, and just pretty much every luchador that was in the promotion. Eddie formed it. Eddie formed it. Rey did not want to join, and so that was a big part of it. Is even though he would wrestle with them sometimes, that he was really not a part of Latino World Order, of course, taking on the, you know, New World Order, NWO, kind of the stables and things like that. So he actually ended up being forced to join the group because he lost a certain match to Eddie Guerrero. But then him and Kidman, who they would tag occasionally just on different shows, the two of them actually ended up feuding with Latino World Order, even though Ray was a member of it. It was still him and Kidman taking on members of it. And so, yeah, a lot of cross connections here. Like I said, I feel like, especially after we've talked cruiserweights last time, I feel like talking cruiserweights this time, like there's never a ton of like great build or story to some of these. There is not a few of them, but some of these ones we've been talking about lately, there's really like, there isn't like a definitive path. It's just these guys cross paths. You know, occasionally they have some tag matches. Like, you know, they may have had some matches for some championships before. And then because WCW, as we know now, really didn't know what to do with these guys or didn't realize, like, well, you know, Bischoff bringing them in was smart. Didn't realize exactly what he had, though. But then we end up getting this three-way match that really turns into the, like, the number or the best rated match on the card.
that was a big issue, was that they you know, if you could go back and rebook the cruiserweights, you just would have given, you know, you would have probably put a full-time writer in charge of them. Like, just book this division, give them storylines, give them, you know, reasons to feud, I think would have made the division better. But the actual matches were fantastic. So, all right, cool. Let's get into this. 8 minutes, Starrcade 98 on Peacock. It's season 16, episode one. Starrcade 98, 8 minutes. Jeff, are you ready?
I am ready. Let's do this.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
If Rey Mysterio Jr. pins Juventud, Rey Mysterio Jr. is going to win that cruiserweight belt.
Odds are against Kidman, I guess, Tony, if you look at it that way on the surface, especially since...
Not the greatest entrance music there for Kidman.
Definitely not just your guitar riff there. Yeah, just
brutal. Yeah. There were some shitty WCW themes.
Yeah, they didn't have a
real half-assed. Yeah. Real half-assed.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, so we got the opening match here, of course. Something, especially when you had face Kidman. Like, I think the selling point for me is I remember always picking him in the N64 video game. It was something about the Shooting Star Press. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, I was just a big fan of the him doing this. It just looks so cool to me. Really a trendsetter when you think about it, wearing the jean shorts long before John Cena. You almost would feel like we ever get Cena on the show to ask him, like, hey, like, was Billy Kidman your inspiration here?
So, interestingly enough, So I pulled up the roster from the WCW NWO World Tour N64 game, which of course was just awesome. I was trying to remember who I was. So you had, there were some good ones in here. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who I typically was. Remember, they had half the characters were like just made up ones.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you only had like 15 guys in it, but yeah. A lot of fun. Savage was hidden, DDP was hidden.
Cruiser. I do remember you had to unlock certain ones. Yeah, I remember oddly enough, I'm who was it? Glacier was one of my other ones because he had the super kick.
Glacier and Wrath were both hidden. Yeah.
Yep. I do remember that. Yeah.
What a great game, man.
Yeah. Those are the class, like trying to recapture those. They just haven't been able to. And anymore, like, we haven't talked about
one of the N64 all time greatest sellers.
Yeah. I'm not surprised by
1.3
that.
1.3 million copies in the US, second best wrestling game ever.
So much of those games are micro, you know, the microtransactions now, and you're paying for everything and it to unlock everything. I'll play a game to unlock stuff, but I don't want to have to spend $50 after I just dropped $60 or $70.
Oh, you can be into these games for $100 before you ever start playing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, and unfortunately that's just the nature of a lot of them nowadays, but yeah, you just gotta kind of be smart about that. So, All right. So Juventud's kind of the one getting beat up at the start of this one. You have Ray and kind of Kidman kind of getting into it a little bit here.
Juve without the mask.
Yep. Crazy to think too, like this. So this is 1998. We're watching Ray have some of the best stories of his career right now. Like, you know, stuff with Dominic and just kind of being like, I feel like he's wrestling weekly. Like, you know, he's out there a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but man, at this point, like it's almost 25 years later and this dude is just out there just working like crazy. Like, you know, just speaks to who, like, you know, the kind of wrestler and person he is. Like, geez.
Well, and it's hard to believe his body hasn't broken down yet, right?
Right. It's gotta be DDP yoga, man. Something.
It's just crazy.
Especially like so many of these other guys, like they do, like they like you said, like their body, like just break down. Like they just, that's it. Like Kurt Angle, I feel is like outside of like, you know, surgery every month, like it's just irreparably broken in regards to like injuries and stuff like that. But like, you know, dude is like totally surgical. They're kind of tossing Ray back and forth here. Now at this point, we're getting this in a little crazy action here. Oh, that was a nice little kind of moonsault or flipped him over him and then the clothesline. Oh my, the air or the face buster, the air that Ray got, that was great. Yep. Good stuff here. A lot of action, a lot of good things happening.
So let me, if CM Punk were to go to WWE,
okay,
give me your dream fuse dream matchups. I want to know who you'd like to see him against. I could watch him and Lesnar go at it again. Yep. I think that could be really, really fun. I think the promos and the build, and I think that could be real interesting. AJ Styles, because you just want to see AJ Styles wrestle everyone. I wouldn't mind seeing him in Edge. You know, I don't think that there's, you know, at least on a big stage, been any interaction with him in KO. I don't know. You know, I don't know what he did or didn't do in Ring of Honor. I mean, the thing is, you forget shit. You know, CM Punk hasn't been on the indie scene in what? 12 years, 15 years?
Forever, yeah.
Okay, right? I mean, so it's been a long time. But like, I mean, I know he wrestled Samoa Joe, but it's like, I mean, did he wrestle Kevin Owens or not? I don't know.
I don't know.
Sami Zayn, you know, so I mean, shit, Punk and Reigns. I mean, you could put Punk. I think you could put him almost anyone, and you know, you could make him a babyface or a heel. I think at this stage he's more of a heel because I think he's a heel in real life. But
yeah. Oh, big drop kick there. So I would not want to see Roman. AJ was okay. Let me go back. AJ was the first one that popped into my mind. I think him. That one would be good. I think another one, I would not want to see him take on Roman. And I'll say why in a sec here. I would like to see him take on Seth.
I don't think
Roman does. CM Punk doesn't need Roman, and Roman definitely doesn't need CM Punk. And so I don't think you need to do that. I do think it would be fun to, like you said, to see the kind of callback with Cena actually. And so like, do you bring him back for one? Do you do something like that? I think Seth, more than Roman, I think Seth could carry CM. Not to say that Roman couldn't, I think he could, but I think Seth would give us a better match. Same with like AJ. I think those two, like you put them with anybody, they're going to have a good match. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's just the way it goes.
What's your assessment of CM Punk's in-ring work in AEW?
I'd give it like a 7 out of 10. I feel like there's been some of those matches where he just does not look like. I always think back to when Brian Pillman Jr. was talking to us about, like, you know, keeping the stamina, like you got to build up your stamina. Like you can't just go out there and say, and after never having done a 20 minute match, say, hey, I'm going to do a 20 minute match. Like that's just not a thing. And so I think that like, and some of those matches, like he has looked very tired by the end of them. So I don't think, you know, this goes to like the biggie, like, you know, I don't need your 20 minute five star matches. Like give him like a 10 to, you know, 12, 14 minute match. against somebody like Seth, or, you know, I think that like he could have a good little feud with like The Miz. Even like, I think The Miz is still doing some of the best work of his career right now. And so I like the different angles that they're playing up with him. I would not want to see him take on like a bruiser other than like Brock. So I would not want to see him with Drew. I definitely wouldn't want to see him with like Bobby Lashley. I just feel like, you know, some dude that's like giant compared to him. But like some of these other guys, I think that like, you know, he'd be good with maybe like a Sami Zayn or something like that. Like maybe that's how you get him in the Bloodline stuff. But like, let's Solo kind of, you know, toss him around for a little bit. I'd let Brock give him, you know, a dozen suplexes. I'd be all right with that.
Yeah.
Working around to the outside here. Juventud's really getting his ass kicked in this one. I'm not going to lie. it's kind of fun, but a lot of high flying, which is good to see. And so I think if we're going to fantasy book some of that stuff, I think probably my number one choice would be Seth if I had to put a name to it. Yep.
You know, it's just so funny because like earlier in the year, Seth was like losing and it's like, oh my God, he never wins a match. And I'm like, dude, he doesn't need to win a match. He needs to win a match as much as The Miz needs to win a match. Like,
yeah.
if you're over as a heel, you can get the shit kicked out of you and keep losing, and it doesn't matter. And then whenever you need to get their heat back, look, they win a match, they win a title. I mean, it's not that if you're over, you're over. Like, here's the thing: if you are so sensitive to winning or losing, then you're. And what I mean by sensitive is like. The fan reaction, well, then you're not over.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, you know, Goldberg's over, and I know you don't love Goldberg, but he's over. And like, yep. What's his record in his last four matches? I have no idea. I think it's like 2-2. Who cares? He lost. Doesn't matter. He'll still get a big pop. Okay. Yep. Seth Rollins can lose three times in a row. What a hurricane run on the outside, by the way. Seth Rollins can lose three times in a row to Cody. Did it? Fuck no. It was a great feud, man. It was a great feud.
You know, same with like The Miz. Like The Miz can lose a whole bunch as the heel and still come out looking better after some of the mic work or the promo work or whatever it might be. Like, dude still looks like $1 million in everything he's doing. And so, and you know, they're playing up all these different angles, you know, different angles with that stuff. So yeah, I think there's just a lot of possibilities. Same with like, we need to start talking about too. Like, we're talking about CM Punk, you know, that's like kind of pie in the sky. Who knows if it'll even happen? Like, we got to start talking about the return of Cody pretty soon here. Like, you know, like this is something that, you know, where is he going to fall into some of these things? Like, is it just going to be Rumble? Is it just going to be kind of what's going on? Like, yeah, it's hard to say. And so, but you got to start thinking about some of these feuds that he's going to have too.
Yep. Both guys on the outside.
Yeah.
What is that thing the cameraman sitting on the left that they used to have sitting outside the ring?
I have no idea.
Great moonsault.
Yeah, a lot of high flying on this one.
Both go down.
Compared to what we saw, like, you know, I feel like it was a little.
It was great placement too.
See, for better or worse, like, you know, it was low flying when we watched Juice and Thunder Liger and Ray just a couple weeks ago. But this one, a little bit more definitely high flying when you got three guys in there just kind of going at it hard.
I think this is the same outfit that Mysterio had on at Starrcade 96, if I'm not mistaken.
Could be, yeah.
Just a random loser wrestling fan observation.
What's your timestamp on here? I just buffered for a second.
I'm at 2018, 2020, 2021.
All right, I'm close enough. Okay.
2030. Hey, I want your opinion on something.
Sure.
So you have wrestlers, I'll give you to two ends of the spectrum just recently. Every week it feels like Ronda Rousey's commenting on how she was booked, what they thought about doing, what she wanted them to do differently. Mm-hmm. And it's really annoys the shit out of me. Yep. Okay. Opposite end of the spectrum is Bray Wyatt goes away and he doesn't post anything and he really kayfabes it hard. As a fan, what do you prefer?
I think that less is more. I think with the Bray stuff, they could be gene. I think I told you, like, he could be the kind of supernatural, if you will, or like this character work for the next 20 years, like, yeah. You know, taking over the Undertaker and kind of doing that. Rhonda, she makes me question how much of it is a work and how much of it is a shoot. Some of her previous comments, I think, were her not working. I think she was shooting a little bit. They have not done a good job of like convincing me that like she should have a belt, that she should like, that I should enjoy watching her do stuff. Ooh, it looked like his head bounced hard off the hardest part of the ring there. I'm not a fan of her on this run. I just don't think it's very good. And so, it's really tough because, I want to like her. She obviously has incredible ability. Like, she picked it up very fast, but then also, like, you know, that Liv Morgan match and the ending was just like, it didn't do anything for me. This is one of those, like, whether it's a good reaction or a bad reaction from the fans, like, she's getting no reaction, which is the worst case scenario. And so when you're in that kind of boat, though, I just don't know, you know, what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's tough because, like I said, I think that if she was packaged differently and, like, you know, but also, like, she's, you know, part of, I say, the mouthpiece, like, she's not gonna say nothing. And so I don't know. It's just tough.
Yeah, I just don't enjoy, like, seeing an interview where it's like, well, I wanted to use thumbtacks and I was told not to. Like, if you right. want to tell that in a year in a documentary, fine, but don't say it like a day after the match. It's just,
it exposes a little bit too much. I just think her not being a part of that, I say, quote, growing up. Some shenanigans here with Eddie getting involved in the end of the order.
Wow, what a open start. Screwing Kidman and got screwed himself.
Yep. Kidman getting out of there. All right.
There you go. That's all we got.
That's all we got. Good stuff. All right.
Showing some highlights, man. I mean, why am I drawing a blank on what the hell that's called?
The
shooting star press to the outside.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I got you, buddy.
Fantastic. Yes. Absolutely fantastic. All right. Let's get into the aftermath.
Oh, it's time for the aftermath.
What do you got?
Very good. I'm glad I picked this one. It was a great cruiserweight match. I feel like that it's kind of highlighted, you know, it's unfortunate that they weren't getting the credit they deserved, but it was still a really good match in my opinion.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I did. I like the, again, if it's set up properly, I like the three-way. I have no problem with that at all. I really enjoyed it.
Yep. So aftermath on this one, this was immediately after this match, Guerrero wanted a match. And so that's exactly what happened is Kidman and Guerrero had a match with Kidman actually beating him with the shooting star press. You're looking at 3.5 stars on that match. And so but kind of how this played out, Kidman after the fact, of course, did a bunch of different feuds, you know, having the Cruiserweight Championship, actually beating Prince Iaukea at a house show after he had lost it, but then losing it right back to him. He had a hair versus mask match with Psychosis. He almost won the U.S. Heavyweight Championship. He had the period now where he joined the Filthy Animals. This was a Conan's group, kind of putting a few of them together. You had Kidman, Rey Mysterio, Eddie, Conan, because they were saying they weren't good enough, and so that they were filthy animals and out for new and old blood was the kind of line he used. And so him joining the Filthy Animals a little bit later, we'll talk about that more in a different episode. So Juventud, of course, he actually since the time he was actually an announcer for a little bit here on Thunder. He actually beat Jushin Thunder Liger to win the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship on Nitro when they were doing some New Japan stuff there. They actually lost it right back to Liger. You had you know, him getting injured as well too. It was actually because he got arrested, and so that was that. And so that were the injury angle is what they played it up. And so but again, joining the Filthy Animals as well too, the two of them, I said Guerrero and Mysterio, actually becoming the world tag team champions as part of the Filthy Animals. So and that's kind of how Ray played out. Of course, he actually had a went on, there was sold out pay-per-view. Actually Mysterio taking out, it was a fatal four-way match with Psychosis, Juventud, Kidman, and himself, and him losing the title, Kidman retaining on that one. So PWI, Kidman was 132, Juventud 25, Rey Mysterio 107. I feel like that kind of speaks to the how they were treated at this time. The Pro Wrestling Torch gave this one 4 1/4 stars. Observer Newsletter on this one, this was the match of the night, as it said, no other match received one vote. So looking at some of the scores on this one, I'm not surprised. And so about as good a match as would be possible in triangle form. The match started with Mysterio Jr. and Kidman working together, but that didn't last long as they started going at it. The two clearly had designed a match with one innovative spot after another, and there were very few spots of hesitation. I agree. So Tom, what are you scoring this one?
Give me a 6.5 here.
Okay.
I liked it, didn't love it, but yeah, I mean, it was really solid.
Yeah, I'm at a 7 just because I did think there it was no real downtime. I'm a big fan of either the slow burn or like no downtime. You know, it does, again, it does not look like a spot fest, which it did not. A few things, you know, could have been done a little better, but at the same time, like, you know, I was definitely happy with how it played out. So I'm at a 7 on this one. I feel like it's pretty good though.
Fun match.
Oh, one more this year, man. This is crazy. We've called it the end of the road here in 2022. Yeah, this is crazy.
You know, it was fun, covered a lot.
Yep.
Why don't you plug our sponsors real quick?
Yeah, of course. And so it's probably too close here to Christmas to get anything in time. Unfortunate. Well, hopefully you guys already ordered everything, or maybe get some early Christmas stocking stuffers from Manscaped and True Classic Tees, whatever it might be. So the two promo codes, of course, on manscaped.com, you're looking at payoff. Just that's 20% off and free shipping. True Classic Tees, you're looking at payoff 25, you're getting 25% off there. And so all kinds of great stuff. Make sure you're checking out both stores. It doesn't, maybe, you know, may not get it in time for Christmas. Doesn't mean you can't get it, excuse me, to start off 2023 strong. Feels crazy to say 2023, but that's where we're at. And so make sure to check both those out, whether it's, you know, you want to go big and start with the lawnmower and just start. Well, I'm going to call it what it is. Like, maybe, you know, maybe you just want to shave your balls clean. Like, let's just do it. You know, let's start 2023 right. Maybe you just want the nose hair trimmer, you know, the weed whacker. Maybe you just want some better razors. I know Tom, you know, recently, you know, purchased their kind of shower scrubber. So there's all kinds of good stuff for, you know, men's grooming, whatever you need, smell good, look good, all that stuff. And then True Classic, of course, the weather ain't going to break anytime soon for those of us up in the northern states here. And so make sure that you got, whether it's some of their jackets, like I'm a big fan of the pajama pant, especially it's now that it's the holiday. And so they got some great fleece stuff that you can check out as well too. So again, at Manscaped, that's that promo code payoff for 20% off and free shipping. And at True Classic Tees, it's payoff 25. You're getting 25% off, free shipping on orders, anything over $100. Make sure to check it out. So yeah, and then next week, what are we doing next week? We're sticking with Starrcade next week, and so we're going back to 1989, though. This is the earliest that we've had, and of course the classic Ric Flair versus Sting from Starrcade 1989.
Dude, I'm pumped.
This is exciting. I know. Happy holidays to everybody. However you celebrate, whatever it might be, you know, we won't talk to you again until after the Christmas holiday.
Well, we'll be at it again next week. And then we got a good slate for next year too.
Yeah, we got all kinds of good stuff. We got a little bit of a spoiler here for those of you stuck around to the end for us. We got some New Japan coming your way. I see we are going to visit. We talked about it. The sold out 1998 as well, too. We're going to go to that one, but no NWI. Bret Hart and Ric Flair. So we got that one, of course. Time for a casket match, too. We won't spoil it and tell you which one, but we got it on the list. So.
Well, we just had that one not that long ago at NXT.
Exactly. And
the,
so
the casket was kind of shitty.
We're going to go to the original founder, if you will, of the casket match. We'll at least tell you one of the participants, but that still doesn't give away too much. So it should be good, though.
Good. Hey, you know what else we need to cover at some point is Buried Alive.
We will. Yeah, you know what? I will make sure that one ends up on our list. I'm mapping us out. You know, you and I talked. We're finally going to do a 60-minute Iron Man in 23. I guess we won't spoil which one, but you can guess. And so there's some good stuff coming up here for 2023 in the payoff.
All right, sounds good. Well, appreciate everyone listening. We'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.